at home. The land was poor and unable to give him a good living. And the thought of the riches to be found in the Christian churches overseas haunted him. He knew there was fertile land for the taking, where he could put down new roots. So Egil decided to move his family over the sea.
This was the time when the Vikings began to sail all over the known world. Empires are built by landless younger sons, and the Vikings had an overabundance of younger sons, fearless young men eager to better themselves, who hungered for land, women, wealth, and power, and felt a divine right to share in the good things of the earth. They rode out from their fields and raided, traded, and sometimes settled in places as far-flung as Iceland, Greenland, North America, Spain, Italy, and even Baghdad. Their fresh northern blood mingled with that of other peoples long grown torpid by the routine of rural living. And everywhere they went, they brought new energy and life.
Egil and Onlok, his wife, settled down on Orkney with their young son, Knut. Farming the land was hard, but it was peaceful, and it provided them with food and clothing. In time, Knut grew to be a strong man, like his father. And then came the day when Knut, in his turn, inherited the sword from his father and became the head of the family. By this time, many Vikings had given up the destructive ways of the raiding pirate and had settled down to farm their new land. Knut was such a peaceful farmer. He wished nothing more than to live his life free from war and violence. With the passing of time, the Vikings of Orkney became stronger and more independent. So in the year 894, the King of Norway decided to visit his former subjects and establish his overlordship. Einar, the Jarl of Orkney, called his people together. Among them was Knut, now a respected older member of the community.
You have heard. Harald Finehair, the King of Norway, is coming to demand his taxes.
How much will he demand?
There is talk of 60 gold marks.
This would be a heavy burden indeed. How could we pay such an amount?
Because I am Jarl of Orkney, I will pay it for you.
And what will you ask in return?
Your loyalty.
That is already given.
And your estates in fee.
I pledge myself and my family and my land to your service.
I thank you all. And you especially, Knut.
Jarl Einar, there is one thing more. There is the problem of King Harald's son. You have strong friends here, but...
Leave that to me. You and your family will always have a place of honor by the side of the Jarl of Orkney.
Jarl Einar, you have entertained us most royally, and for this we thank you. But now we must talk of other things. We have come here not merely to feast and be merry. We have come here to demonstrate to you our love and protection as overlord of all the Viking settlers in Orkney. And, to that end, we demand of you a tax of 60 gold marks.
Here is your tax, my lord.
There is one thing more. It was you who killed my son, Halfdan.
In fair combat, my lord. These my people will bear witness that I had no choice. He challenged me for the Jarldom of Orkney, the Jarldom you yourself bestowed upon my family. I had to protect that which is mine by right.
Nonetheless, his blood is on your hands. The Vergil must be paid for his death. We demand another 60 gold marks.
Let me offer the king this in payment for the rare gilt.
That trinket isn't worth 60 gold marks.
But think how it will look if the king refuses this symbol of our Viking past. My lord, this brooch was taken in a brave Viking raid upon the holy island of Iona from the sacred ground of Columba himself. It symbolizes the heroic raids of the first Vikings and of our success in these Scottish islands. Accept it as the vergelt and as a token of your overlordship.
We accept.
After the initial settlement, many Vikings married native Christians, and, inevitably, some may have been converted to the new faith or their children born into it. The Vikings were slow to change, but change they did, sometimes from conviction, sometimes for political reasons, and sometimes because the king converted and demanded that his subjects did likewise.
The king was Olaf Tryggvason, who had lately been converted to Christianity. The Jarl of Orkney was Sigurd the Stout, who was still a pagan, and at his side was my ancestor Dag, great-grandson of Nutt. There on the beach at Orkney, Jarl Sigurd swore his loyalty to King Olaf, but Olaf wanted more. With all the zeal of the newly converted, King Olaf demanded that his subjects should also be baptized. He was quite willing to enforce this at sword point if need be. Sigurd had no choice but to comply. The king demanded more still. As an assurance of Sigurd's loyalty, he took the Jarl's young son, Hind, as hostage. Sigurd swore he would avenge this insult and seek a treaty with the Scottish king, Malcolm. Sigurd went even further, marrying the king's daughter, thus strengthening the bond between Malcolm and himself. A son, Thorfinn, was born to them. A few years later, there came a cry for help from Ireland. The Norse king, Sitric, in his city of Dublin, and his ally, the Irish king of Leinster, appealed for help from the Norse in Scotland, come to their aid against the Irish King of Munster, Brian Boru, who was intent on dominating Ireland as High King. Sigurd answered the call. With him on the expedition went my ancestor Dag, bearing this sword. A mighty battle was fought on the beach at Clontarf, just outside Dublin, between the forces of Brian Boru and the army of Norsemen and their allies.
I was there when warriors fought. Sword blades rang on Ireland's coast. Metal yelled as shield it sought. Spear points in the well-armed host.
Many great deeds were performed that day. Dag never left Sigurd's side, but tried valiantly to protect him from every assault.
Metal yelled as shield it sought, spear points in the well-armed host.
Slowly but surely, the might of Brian's army prevailed, and the Vikings were driven back towards the sea.
Sigurd fell in battle's blast. From his wounds there sprang hot gore.
Sigurd died as he wanted to, wrapped in the raven banner of Odin. With his dying breath, he asked Dag to protect his young son, Thorfinn. And Dag
Lion fell, but won at last.
Lion was struck down at the moment of victory, but his assailant, Raugar, also died.
The defeat at Clontarf symbolized the end of the Vikings as a political power in Ireland. Elsewhere, the Vikings, who had begun as pirates, were turning into traders and statesmen.
Because he was the grandson of Malcolm, King of Scots, Thorfinn was made Earl of Caithness and Southern.